Hello again, listeners. This is Grace on the Tree. I'm Jamie L, and I'm coming to you with another podcast episode that God has laid on my heart to share with you guys. I pray everyone's having a great day. Their week is going good. And, you know, I'm not going to chat too much. I'm just going to get right into the episode. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for your good and perfect gifts that you bestow on all of your children, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your wisdom, for your correction, and that, Lord God, that you are so merciful to us when we fall short. I don't think we even recognize just how many times you look out for us, how many the ways that you protect us from danger and protect us from us even hurting ourselves, Heavenly Father, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you'd place on my heart the things that you want me to mainly share today through this message. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through me. I pray for healing and restoration for every single person out there that listens to this message, Lord God. I pray that your words will reach their heart and change them forever. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Okay, guys, so let's just jump right on into this episode. This is a episode, in case you didn't hear in the prayer just a while ago, this is an episode that is going to be about healing. You know, this is an episode that, you know, I had kind of wrote down, but I just like, you know, because I'm still trying to structure everything of what I want to say, but and you know, stuff that I want to say as opposed to what God wants me to say. And it's a very good topic to talk about, because as men and women of God, this is often what is hindering us a lot, you know, when it comes down to us, you know, every day, not just even just, you know, Christians, but even unbelievers, you know. You know, God had placed this on my heart, and I feel that this is a great time to talk about this topic, because, you know, I gained some experience, and, you know, with walking with Christ this far, and seeing how he has, you know, moved in me, moved in other people. And, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about us being able to be vessels for God, of his grace, his mercy, and being able to share what he's done for us, that it will encourage other people. In Romans 10, it says, how can people hear about God unless someone preach it to them? And how can they preach it to them unless they are sent? How blessed are those that carry the word of God, you know? So as we you know, preach the word, that's how people learn about God. And the Holy Spirit does his work by going forth and touching your, you know, your hearts to receive what we're doing. I think a lot of times that's what, you know, the churches get kind of, you know, lost in, because they think that we have to do more, that we have to kind of like sell the gospel as opposed to just preaching the gospel. And that is mainly our responsibility. But God just tells us to share it. He doesn't say that we have to do all these different methods or blend worldly traditions and worldly types of things in with the spiritual, you know. As men and women of God, you know, we have to uphold the law of Christ. And how we do that is by staying close to the Lord, yielding to the Lord, and that's it. You know, of course there are spiritual disciplines, but we don't have to do anything but rely on the power of God. And that's what mainly this podcast message is centered around. So guys, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, and it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So I want you guys to remember that. Put your thumb there, you know, put a, you know, bookmark right there in that chapter, because that's what it really all goes back to. Okay. And so today I'm going to be, there's different types of healing, right? You know, there's physical, mental, you know, and mainly spiritual, you know. So I'm going to be looking at a few examples in the Bible of healing. And the first one we're going to be looking into is the woman that's bled for 12 years. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that story, but that's going to be in Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start at verse 18. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And then we'll just read down Matthew chapter 9, we'll start at verse 18. And we'll read to 26. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. Verse 20, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only just touch his garment, I will be made well. Verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, be of courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. Okay, so yeah, we'll leave that at verse 23. Okay, now let's go. We're going to read the same story, guys, but we're going to go in. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 24. Because they usually give, you know, just a little bit more information. This is the same story, but it's told by Mark. And the first one we read was told by Matthew. Okay, and we'll start at verse 25. So we're in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather it grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, verse 30 says, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowds pressing all around you, and yet you say, who touched you? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of this disease, of your disease. Okay, so the reason why we just read both of those, amen, is because you can see, you know, Mark gives a little bit more information or background information than Matthew does. But this is an example of a woman that bled for 12 years. It doesn't show what happened because usually, you know, in the biblical times, people believe the tradition that if a person has a physical mental ailment, that is something that they have done, either their parents sinned or they sinned. The Bible doesn't give that information, But we do know that the fact that this woman was hemorrhaging, you know, for 12 whole years. In Leviticus 15, it says that when a woman bleeds, she is ceremonially unclean. So that means she can't go to the temple and pretty much be around people. So you could just imagine just how isolating that is. Like the fact that she's not around people. People are looking at her like she's just a walking disease, you know. And even though she's physically going through it, they said she said she spent all of her money, you know, and for physicians, you know, and not able to get any healing. But she heard about Jesus because Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus's daughter. And I'm pretty sure, you know, at that time, Jesus had been healing so many people. So she heard about him. Just like I said earlier today, you know, in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 10, you know, how do people hear the gospel unless someone preaches it to them? So she heard about it and the word spread around. Jesus' popularity grew and she was at her wit's end. She was desperate. This woman was desperate. She was like, I've done everything I can in my own strength. I got to give this Jesus a try. You know, I got to give it my all, you know. She didn't probably see the miracle face to face, or maybe she did see some healings that Jesus did face to face or whatever. But she knew privately what she had been struggling with. So in faith, this woman came into the crowds that was following Jesus. And she said, you know what? I don't want anyone to, you know, notice me. I don't want Jesus to talk to me or whatever. Like, I just want to touch his garment. Because I believe she was thinking, if I just touch his garment, he won't know that it's me. You know, he won't know that it's me. I won't create any attention on myself, you know, and I'm just going to give it all I got and hope that I get healed. And in both chapters, it said instantly and immediately this woman was healed. I can only just imagine just how depressed that must have been, to be isolated from society, to, you know, have people that just don't want to be around you. You can't go into the temple, which going into the temple at that time was an important thing, important part of, like, the, you know, Jewish tradition, you know, to be there. And you know, it just, like, I'm saying this is physical healing. The reason why I'm bringing this up, because I'm like, this isn't just physical healing this woman needs. This woman needs mental healing as well. Mental and emotional. Look how much distress she's going through. So I may not have to go to the other example of healing, because this woman shows, you know, physical and needing help, healing mentally as well, just because of the isolation and the outcast she had to go through. You know, I would look at her disease now as someone that had, you know, like a HIV or, you know, AIDS or something like that. You know, like, people just don't want to be around you, and, you know, just, and it's not right, you know, but that, unfortunately, you know, people are that way, you know. But you have to remember, you know, people are still human, and we still need love, we still need acceptance, we still need to be, have support and be supported, you know. So, yeah, you know, I looked up, I Googled to try to see if there was, like, any, like, illnesses where a person just hemorrhages for 12 years straight, and I didn't find any. I found one that said, the person, I think, can bleed for, like, maybe a few months at a time, but for 12 years that your body is just hemorrhaging repeatedly, that wasn't there. But, you know, Jesus healed this woman that had, and I can only just imagine what other symptoms she's experiencing because of that, you know. So, you know, Jesus, she reached out, she touched the fringe of his garment, you know, and immediately attention was drawn. And Jesus said he already knew who it was. But Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And I think the reason why he asked that, a lot of times Jesus asks, "Do you want to be made well? Who touched me?" I think he asks that, you know, obviously the answer is, you know, of course someone touched you. But I think he, in this particular context, like he's asking her, "Who touched me?" to see if she would be honest about her healing. Because she, like I said, I believe she did not want any attention to be drawn to her. You know, she was already outcasted. I'm pretty sure people, you know, did all kind of things, mugged her. And, you know, just because of knowing that she was, you know, struggling with this sickness, you know. So I believe Jesus asked her, like, to get her, not to draw attention to her, to try to make her feel bad, but to get her to see, did you just touch me? Like, power just went out from me. You are healed now. It said when she touched Jesus, instantly she was made well. You know, so not only did Jesus feel the power that was taken out of him, but she knew in her body something had happened. So when he asked her that, to challenge her, who touched me? And she confessed up. It said in Mark that she actually did say that, "Hey, you know, I reached out, I touched you." And she came in fear and trembling, it said. And fear and trembling is just like reverency to God, like being reverent, having holy respect for God the Father. And that's who Jesus was. So it was her faith that made her well. And Jesus said, "Go in peace, daughter. Your faith has made you well." You know, so it was her faith that made her well. It was her faith that mentally and physically healed her. But also, this woman got spiritually healed as well, which is the most important thing. And we're about to get to that. But let's go to 1 Kings 19:1-18, and this is a very popular story that people may know. But 1 Kings 19 chapter 1-18. So I am going to read it briefly. We're going to read it down because it's so good. I had to add it in there, especially when you're talking about healing, because, I mean, there's so many stories in the Bible of God healing, you know, and some touches other people and others don't, you know. But this one, you know, I felt that this is something that society and people in the world struggle with a lot. So I had to include this in here. But like I said, this woman, she experienced, you know, mental illness and physical illness, you know. Remember where I told you about in 1 Peter 2-24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And that's exactly what this woman that bled for 12 years was healed. Healed and instantly by his wounds. Let's go really, really quickly to, I'll do that in a minute. Okay. So we're going to read 1 Kings 19. Because this is a big part. Okay, so we're in 1 Kings chapter 19. Then I'm just gonna read down. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid and he got up and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched Elijah and said to him, arise and eat. Elijah looked up, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord again a second time came and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of Horeb. Mountain of God, mountain of Horeb. Where am I? To Horeb, the mountain of God. There we go. Okay, verse 9. There he came to a cave and lived in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have left me. They've abandoned me. Your covenant. They have abandoned your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go out and stand under the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Israel. I mean, over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Okay, so I know that was like, you guys are probably thinking, man, that's a mouthful there. But we see here what was going on. You know, Elijah was obedient to God. He came and he tore down the boughs that the people were worshiping in place of God, mainly the Israelites, because Jezebel is extremely wicked, and you know they were starting to worship and believe in that. So God, he was obedient, tore down the Baal statues or whatnot, and Jezebel said, hey, you know, I'm gonna kill you just like you tore down my gods. I'm gonna kill you. So immediately fear took place in Elijah's heart, and he ran for his life. You know, he knew that, she obviously was queen, but I think, you know, Elijah, he looked at her as, you know, a figure of authority, but he had forgotten, you know, that God is the author of life. You know, he has all the authority. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But he's looking at her and her words, and allowed him to put fear in his heart. So he ran for his life. And I think it's interesting that it says he went into the wilderness and that he, you know, left his servant. He didn't want to be found. Like, he just was afraid for his life, you know. And he went into the wilderness. And it said that he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. You know? Okay, no. Yes, it did. Yeah, he was in the wilderness. And then when the angel of the Lord came. Oh, no, no. He was in the wilderness. Okay, guys. But really, the first thing I thought about, the reason why I'm connecting the wilderness and the 40 days, 40 nights, is I'm thinking about when Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted in the wilderness and he fasted, you know, for 40 days, 40 nights. And then that's when he went into the spirit of God. And that's when Satan had, you know, came and tempted him, you know. So when I saw here that he was in the wilderness and Elijah refused to eat, the angel came to him. Okay, then the angel of the Lord came to him twice, and after the second time Elijah did eat, and then they said that he went into the strength of that food that he ate for 40 days and 40 nights, because Elijah didn't want to eat. You know, he just laid around in this under this broom tree, and then he ultimately went to the cave. You know, he was saying he'd just rather die. You know, that sounds like depression, doesn't it? This sounds like not only anxiety, but also depression. And it, if you think about it, that's a lot of what they say now. Professionals always say if a person has depression, anxiety is like its twin, like they are one and the same. So it's like this is something that Elijah, it took the very life out of Elijah. You know, he was hypervigilant, paranoid. He didn't want to eat. He was laying around, you know, he was afraid for his life. And the enemy put this fear in here. If you remember the last episode that I just recently did, I was talking a lot about how the tactics of the devil, how he uses those things to invoke fear, because fear is from him. God is love. That's who he embodies, is love. And the devil embodies fear. So immediately the devil attacks Elijah with fear and ultimately depression. So he spent, you know, his time there by himself, isolated, alone, a lot like the lady in the story that bled for 12 years by himself. And that in itself is not good. You know, we are desired and need connections. You know, God didn't create us to be alone. You know, that's why he created Eve for Adam, because he said that was fit for him. You know, but if it's fit for him, it has to be fit for Eve too. He has to be fit for, because they're one and the same. You know, he says bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So here, Elijah, to me, the story of Elijah, it matches with the story of Jesus being tempted. Only he, you know, the food helped him to go 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus fasted without food 40 days and 40 nights. You know, so I just, like, you know, I wanted to connect that. But he was depressed. He thought he was by himself. You know, he thought that Queen Jezebel and King Ahab, who's out, you know, literally, like I said, they were extremely, extremely wicked. He thought that Jezebel had killed all the rest of the Israelites that were faithful to God, you know. And that's what the devil will do. He'll make you feel that you're by yourself. He'll make you feel that what you're doing for God, that you're not qualified, that you are, you know, not loved, that nobody cares about you. And they're mental demonic attacks. The only way the devil can attack is in our mind, you know. And like I said, the last message, you know, I've noticed how the devil, that's why I say you have to know your enemy, because I've noticed last 2 years how the devil does place thoughts in my mind, and how it is like, wow, like, you know, he literally wants to hurt us. You know, he literally wants to destroy us. He wants to discourage us. He'll get us to doubt our relationship with God, get us to doubt, you know, everything. You know what I mean? Because his goal is to confuse us. You know, God is all about truth and clarity. The devil is all about doubting and confusion. But in the midst of these things that we doubt and things that we're confused about and our depression, our sad, God still can work his good in there regardless of what the enemy throws at us. It, praise the Lord, right? So he was depressed and the angel came to him. And if you look in Mark and Matthew chapter 4, the angels actually came to Jesus to minister to Jesus and strengthen him. So the angels came, an angel came to Elijah to strengthen him with food for the journey. And if you read, you know, down into this, it's a really, really good story. But I just wanted to focus on his depression, because when God spoke to him, God told him, you know, there's 7,000 men that did not bow, their head to Baal. You know, ultimately, Jezebel, you know what I mean? I'm sure that extremely encouraged him because he was not by himself. You know, Elijah was a man of faith. He believed God, you know, but like I said, in this moment of weakness, he didn't want to live anymore. You know, he kept saying, I am my only self. I'm alone. Nobody else. You know, he said he's been jealous for the Lord. And what he means there is saying that he's been faithful to God. You know, he's been walking with the Lord and being obedient to everything that God tells him to do. And he absolutely has. So much so that he was taken up in a whirlwind and it was witnessed by Elisha, who he anointed as a prophet to be in his place. He was taken up to God. You know what I mean? So, you know, there was a lot of faith that was working in Elisha's. There was a lot of faith that was working in him to bring about these things. He had to have been really, really close to the Lord, you know, just to be able to hear God's voice, you know. So let's actually go over to I'm getting somewhere. Just stay with me. Faith is important in this, in the healing process. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. They call it the Faith Hall of Fame, some people, but chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old, and we're in chapter, verse 1, and we're reading verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. Okay, and then I want to go down to verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Or some versions may say those who seek him. That's one of my favorite verses to quote, you know, and I know that by heart because it's absolutely true. You have to believe in Jesus because belief comes before having faith. I truly believe that. So faith was working in Elijah, and that allowed him to be able to be close to the Lord. That allowed him to be able to hear from God, to be strengthened through this angel. And God still does the same thing for us in our pain. You know, he did the same thing for the woman who had bled 12 years by her faith. And she wasn't even close to the Lord. She didn't even have a relationship with Jesus, you know. But her faith and what she had heard about him, and also her desperation, because she was just in this lowly place. And a lot of times that's where we have to be at. God loves that we're at that place, because in that place, that's when we really get what we need. Let's go to Psalm 34:17-19. And this is exactly what I was just talking about. It says, when the righteous, we're in verse 34. We're in Psalm 34 and we're starting at verse 17 and we're going to read through 19. It says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the pains of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's one of my favorite ones to quote too. I love that verse. I know that one by heart too. But yeah, those two, and that's what I mean, you know, when we're in broken, we're lowly, and even maybe at the place of desperation, that's where I was at in my journey with God. You know, if I could be transparent, I just like, you know, Lord, I got to try out God. You know, if I can't get healing from my depression, from my emptiness, from my emotional numbness, I know that, you know, it has to be something else. And Jesus was there. If I look at that from a spiritual side, that's where I was at, you know. And just by my faith and placing my faith in God, it says in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. That means the things that we believe, they happen, and then he show those things based on us believing in him and the faith that we have. So when I place my hope into God, he showed that by his spiritual restoration, his renewal, his rebirth, you know, his strength, his grace was working in me. And that's the same thing that all people need. So I want to go back to First Peter, chapter 2, verse 24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he experienced the ultimate pain that any person walking the earth could ever experience. And if we're going to go to that chapter too, because I believe it's important to talk about that. He can empathize with all of our weaknesses. Just a second. Okay, I can remember this one. It's 1 Corinthians 1:3, I believe. Chapter 1, verse 3. But it's another one, too, that's really good. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. It says, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we receive ourselves and are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are pained, okay, we'll stop there. So this is saying grace is working through us, you know, because Jesus is aware of every pain that we've experienced. He's saying as his grace is working through us, we get comfort, we get healing, we get strength for the journey. It may not have come in faith and food like it did Elijah, but it comes in the form of being able to get up and go to work the next day. When you feel like you just can't even get out of bed, it comes in the form of being able to not rely on meds and say, you know what, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to, you know, put my head down and I'm going to trust that things will get better when I can't pay my rent or I can't, you know, afford gas for the week. You know, that's what God's grace and his mercy is, because faith is working while you're believing in that. While you're trusting in that, faith is working and the evidence of that happens. And let's go to, I'm going to find the other scripture because I think that's important. get to it's on the tip of my tongue, I know it. Oh, it's in Hebrews. Okay, here we go. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. So, whole bunch of chapters over. It says, what we were just talking about and how God is familiar with every type of pain that humankind could ever experience. It says in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet did not sin. Let us," this is verse 16, "let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Amen. So that's what I mean. As we draw near to God, that's what it means to have faith, is drawing near to God, trusting in God that, hey, you know, I'm going to rely on God's strength to get through this. You know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay, you know, this thing that's worrying me. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, heal me a lot of pain, but I'm trusting in God. I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to allow the Lord to do what I can't do. That's faith in works, you know, and that's a big part of the healing journey is what I'm getting at. Let me just go to, just a second. It's another one, I believe this is in Mark. Just a second. I'm trying to. This has been something that's been on my heart too, and that's important because a lot of people don't think that God answers prayers, and he does. And there sometimes is a lot of things that hinders that. But the Bible tells us the faith of the righteous is powerful and effective as it is working. You know, God even honors and grants prayers to men and women that are not Christians. You know what I mean? Because of his love for us, because he's that kind of grateful God. That's why he says the God of all comfort, who blesses us with every perfect and good gift that comes up from that comes down from above. With the Father that shows no variation or shifting shadows. God is not a God of favoritism and partiality, but he's a God of love, you know? He's a God of restoration. He's a God that cares about your tears. So much so that he says that he keeps a record of every single person's tears in his book. So he sees your tears. He feels your pain, you know? In the story of Elisha, we hear about how God said that, you know, there was rocks. And I love that chapter when he says, you know, the rocks were quaking. And then he said it was an earthquake. Then he said it was fire. And he said after that, it was still quiet voice. And he's telling Elijah, which is what I'm saying, it was, you know, about who, what kind of the character of God is, which is love and compassion. And gentleness and love. He's telling Elijah, like, I hear your pain. I see what the devil did. I know what's going on. And even though I'm a powerful God that's in that can create an earthquake, that can create fire, but I'm also a gentle, loving God, and I feel your pain. I care about what you're going through. You know, I created your heart. And when you're sad, when you're going through things, it hurts me. You know, it's a scripture that actually says that, like, it hurts him. And that, you know, he was angry. The Bible says that God gets angry when he sees the injustices that's going on in the world. When he sees just all this evil, and people think that God doesn't care. Why does God allow this child to be murdered? Why does God allow, you know, human trafficking and all that? But he does care. He does. And I'm going to go to that scripture right now. In Psalms 51, hold on, because I'm juggling quite a few scriptures right now, but I want, it's important that we both, that I share both of these, all three of these. Okay, 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There it is. You know, God cares for you. In Matthew 11, verse 28. Says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burden. That means heavy burden with just whatever you're going through, mentally, physically, anything. Come to him and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, upon you. For I take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke was put on the back of a, you know, donkey to, you know, and it had to be carried by like two donkeys or whatever. And that's how, you know, the shepherds or whatever would somewhat, you know, control, you know, the donkeys or whatever. So, you know, God is using this allegorically as to say that, you know, we don't have to carry that yoke by ourselves, that he's the person on the other end that's carrying that fully for us. So we don't have to carry it at all. That's what kind of gentle, loving, humble God that he is. You know, he cares about what's going on in the world. He sees what's going on and he's waiting for an appointed time to pour out his wrath because of the injustices. I just want to drive that point in. Because that he does care. Let's go to, I really want to, go back to that scripture just a second. Okay. So I think that, oh, here it is. Okay, here we go. Here is, it's going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to go to verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7. It says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, to God, to my God, I called from his temple, which is heaven. He heard my voice and my cry came to his ears. Verse 8, then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and rooted them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Okay, let's go up to so we see here, you know, this is David, you know, this whole chapter. We're not going to get in that. But I want to focus on the fact that, you know, David was is calling to Jesus. He's recalling, you know, a prayer that he, you know, prayed to God, you know, and saying that when he called on to the Lord in his pain, Jesus heard. In fact, he was angry because of the person that caused the pain. So in these few different verses and chapters, I'm trying to point to the fact that God does care, that he is angry. He sees what's going on. If we look at, what I just read at the end, he's saying, these are all actual things that God is going to do when he comes back, And he's going to render justice for every injustice. But right now, before he comes back, he's given us vindication just by our faith that we have in him. The same faith that Elijah had, the same faith that this woman had, the same faith that countless others in the word of God received. They received healing of sight. They received demons being cast out. They received daughter being, Jairus's daughter was healed. After she was sick and died, and Jesus, brought her back to life. So many other stories. And what was it mainly? It was because of faith. They had faith in Jesus. They yielded to Jesus, and they didn't know him that well, but they had enough faith to say, if it happened for me, happened for that person, it can happen for me. And that's why testimonies are so important. That's why it's so important to tell your testimony, for that reason, because it really does strengthen and help other people to grow and come to know who God is. Amen. So reading the Bible, for me, what I would say, reading the Bible at the level of my satiation is so important. Just like food. It's just like you having some water, You're not going to drink just 2 drops of water, right? Or you're not going to eat 2 peas. You're going to eat until you're full. It's the same way with us, spiritually. We have to read our word and spend time with God in prayer and in studying the Bible, not reading it, but studying the Bible at the level of our satiation. Because that is where we are filled with God. We're filled with the power of Christ, In the Bible, I just read that scripture today about, the Holy Spirit, will fill us. If we yield to the Spirit of God, that he'll fill us, and his power that he gives us the strength to do the things that's difficult for us to do. So when we speak of healing in general, when we speak of mental healing, mental illness healing, or, anxiety, depression, and maybe the even bigger one that has went back years for you, like myself, maybe it's trauma, maybe it's childhood trauma, God can even heal that. But let's be honest, healing in itself is messy, right? It's messy. It's a process. It's uncomfortable. It takes a long time, but it's not because of God that it takes a long time, unless that's in his will. It can happen, but I think it really happens because of the level of us being able to be satiated, a level of us being able to give it to him. And there's a lot of times, and I've noticed that personally in my life, that the reason for me not truly giving God the area when it comes down to trauma, past trauma, is because it's broken there. When believer we get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live in our spirit, and we become right in God's eyes. We become children of God, because we are reborn again by the Spirit of God. And I've seen the evidence of that. But when it comes to deeper rooted pain, that's the thing that takes the longest. And it's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's my fault for not trusting God enough in this area to be able to give him that. And I get frustrated. I'm like, Lord, I feel so hypocritical. Like, how can I give you this area? How can I let you deliver me from, my anxiety? How can I allow you, But then when it comes to this, it's like, I don't even trust you. I bet you're shaking your head up there like, really, Jamie L? Like, really? But he understands. He's a God that doesn't think that way. He's a God that cares. He's a God of comfort and all compassion. And he empathizes with all of our weaknesses because he knows us better than we know ourselves. The Bible says that he knows even the number of hairs that are on our head, you know? In Psalms or Proverbs 30 or Psalm 131, it says that he knew who we would be, what we would look like when we were just a substance in our mother's womb. You know, and he cares, and he's patient with us, and he's gentle with us, and he yields us, you know, little bit by little bit, so that we can trust and give that to him. But because of the brokenness of deep rooted, like, hurt and pain, it can be healed, but it's usually us. You know, God is just like at the door of our heart, and he's just like a bright light full of power. You know, all we have to do is open it wide to get all the healing. And it's up to us. He's like, I'm already there. I have it already for you. I'm just waiting for you to open the door wide enough to get it. And it seems like, you know, when it comes to my pain, I'm just like, little bit at a time. Crack the door open a little. Crack the door a little bit. You know? But I understand that God cares about my pain. God cares about my trauma. He cares about what we're going through. He sees every single thing. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. He says the darkness is as light to him. So there's no shame in us trying to hide it away from him, because he sees it already. And that's how closely intimate that God is with us. So when we pray to him and we give him, you know, those things, he can allow his power, the faith that we have, the level of faith that he gives each believer, he allows his level of faith he gives us to work in us based off of the level of faith that we have. He allows his level of power, to work off the level of faith that he has assigned to us through the Spirit of God. You know, and then, like I said, you know, that's something that I'm guilty of, but I want to remind you that it is possible. Healing is possible. God tells us that, you know. In Isaiah 66:13, it says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians 7:9, it says, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. Psalm 35 says, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes with the morning. That's a popular one, I'm sure. And I believe that there's different types of ways that will aid in our healing. But as someone that has been in therapy for some years now, I would say that God has given me the most healing out of all the external things that I try to do. They've helped. They've definitely aided in it. But God has given me the most, because I've been relying on God's grace to carry me through that. Even if I'm not fully healed, his grace carries me through that, you know, and God's grace carries you. He wants to heal us physically. He wants to heal us mentally. But the mainly thing is, he wants to heal us spiritually. That was his goal for the woman that bled for 12 years. That was his goal for Elijah. That was his goal for all the other people in the Bible, is that they would be spiritually healed. And back to, you know, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, it says that he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree. I know you guys are like, she read this 3 times, but it's so important, because it goes back there, because it says, by his wounds you have been healed. So that's God saying that I can heal you, because I died for your healing. I died on the cross for your deliverance. I died on the cross so that you can walk out of darkness into my marvelous light. I died on the cross so that you can have eternal life. I died on the cross so that you can have life and have it in abundance.
I die so that everything that I predestined you for before your days ever began came to be, so that you can walk into it in victory. And not only you, but you'll touch as many people based on your testimony, based on your what I delivered you from. Because that's what kind of God that we have. You know, God is love. God is love. God is a God of love. God is a God of peace. God cares for you. Okay? Okay, on James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Like I was, you know, the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it's working. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with mourning, and with weeping. So as you can see in Psalm 35, where it says the joy will, weeping may stay for the night, but joy is come in the morning. And then in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it also says with fasting, with weeping and with mourning. This is how we heal. You know, tears are a big part of healing. I truly believe that, you know. And I'm sure there could be a lot of things that's going on. The reason why God couldn't hear your prayers, it could be because you need to repent. It could be because you have unconfessed sin or unforgiveness in your heart, you know. And the Bible says that if you don't forgive others theirs, I can't forgive you. And God isn't saying that in spite. He's saying that, you know, because that's what he wants us to do, is not think of ourselves. The Bible says not think highly of others, not think highly of ourselves more than we ought, but look out and seek out the interests of others. It says, if you forgive others their sins, I will forgive your sins. You know, so God always includes a blessing that he gives us so that we can bless others. You know, so it's not like God's trying to be spiteful, like, I'm going to take this away from you. He's saying this because it's supposed to be a rippling effect to another person. So just like I'll share my testimony just about my life and what I'm doing, you know, there's my personal testimony of how I came to God, but then there's personal testimonies in this walk with God that God delivers us from, that God delivers us and heals us from. God, you know, helps work our faith into another person's life. Maybe it's a word, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a physical struggle you've had, and God delivers them. You know, those things are meant to be shared because it's so powerful. Just think, God spoke the world into existence, you know, and he says that he's given us that same authority through his word. The Bible says that Jesus spoke back to the devil. He said, man can't live by bread alone, by physical bread, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the things that we say, the things that we do, I did a podcast years ago about the power and the things that we speak. It's not because in of ourselves, it's because of the power of God behind it. You know, when we speak things, we can attract the devil or we can attract God, you know. Whatever we reap, we sow in this life. So we sow the word into another person's life. It definitely will pay off. Those are seeds. We may not see it being reaped in that person's life right away, but it's still encouraging for them. They won't forget that. It'll be another person they may reap from that, but you started that, and that's what it matters. You know? You say something, you know, nice, do a kind act to someone, or do, you know, say something really encouraging to that person. That's making their day. That's making them feel good. It's healing their bones. You know, God says that in the Bible, it says in Psalms that a cheerful heart is good medicine for the bones. You know, so I just want to, you know, I'm saying this because God wants that. God is our ultimate healer. And I can see that. I'm personally experiencing that. But there's other ways that he can heal us. And sometimes it really isn't because we're not giving our, yielding to the Lord as much it literally can be because unconfessed sin. It could literally be because we harbor unforgiveness in our life. And then it could just be because we think that we like God owes us something, like we're trying to get something from him, but our heart is not right with God. You know, we're doing it to spend on our pleasures as opposed to I'm doing this because I want to bless others, or I want, you know what I mean? Like I said, God isn't always thinking about us in and of itself. He's always thinking about, he's a big God, right? So his plans that he has for us, we might say, you know, I want a business, a ministry business, and I want it to be sell out books, 50 million copies. But he's thinking something bigger. You know what? Why not? Why just make it just books when I can give you a whole ministry to where you're reaching people all the way in Africa by this ministry? You know, he's just not thinking about a small thing. He's always thinking about a big thing, you know, for those single out there. You know, we maybe, you know, oh man, I just want a family, you know, I want to be married, you know, and that's a real desire, and God placed that desire in you. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anyone make you feel like you're bad because you want that. Not bad, but I mean, like, don't let anyone make you think that there's something, like, that's selfish of you or, you know, something like that, because God placed that desire in your heart. But maybe God is saying that, you know, yeah, she would do well with being married and kids. She would, you know, love. But then he's probably thinking, since he's a big God, well, why just have her love and marry, be married and have children when I could have her love the entire world? That's how big God is. And when I say the entire world, I mean just people. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, right? He works in mysterious ways. He's a big God. He always has bigger plans for us. And all I'm saying is maybe through our healing, God is using that and withholding our healing process because he knows that it's going to bless many people. You know? And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about a couple of scriptures here. But I just want to go to... Just a second. Yeah, so, you know, praying honestly to God about our struggles, crying out to him about our pain and anger, you know, seeking therapy, and just leaning on his, yielding to the Spirit of God and leaning on his strength to comfort us. These are all forms of healing. You know, this is the scripture I'm thinking about. Let's go to hold on, healing. Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to start at verse 7. I'm sorry, no, we're going to start at so God is specifically talking about fasting in this chapter. But let's go down to because fasting is a good part of healing too. I think that can absolutely be a way that God's healed us, you know, because it's a lot of things that we might put in place because of us needing healed, and those would be considered idols. So it is important as believers that we fast regularly, that we, you know, read our word regularly, praying, you know, without ceasing, pray without ceasing. These are spiritual disciplines in the body of Christ that we have to do often. But then sometimes you're confiding in a friend, you know, in the Bible it says go to the elders of the church, you know, pray the prayer of the prayer of the seat, the prayer of the faithful will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. So when we do pray to our brothers and sisters, that's another form of way that we get deliverance and healing. So in this chapter in verse 5, let's just read. It says, is the fast that I choose? We're in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not instead this fast that I choose to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Verse 8. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring forth up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the pain, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. So, yeah, I know that was pretty, that was a mouthful there. But God is pretty much saying, like I said a while ago, you know, he cares about our personal healing and deliverance. But usually he wants it to have a ripple effect for other people. So he's saying, you know, to proclaim the word of God, to loosen the ones that who have been in bondage. You know, those are the ways that we get healing. By us being able to heal other people. And as men and women of God, we are charged to do that, to spread the gospel. That's the great commission that God tells us to. Go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I've told you. So this is about fasting, you know, but it's also about and result of us fasting and result of us being obedient to God. We're able to heal other people. We're able to loosen the straps of that the enemy has to other people that's been sitting in darkness and bondage. You know, the people that have been shamed, the people that have no hope. This is what God has called us for. So it's only merely about just our healing. But I also want you to know that it is about your healing. And I'm sure you're like, Jamie, what are you? I mean, I'm saying that, like, we just read scriptures. God cares about each and every person's pain, grief. He's aware of our situation. He's with us. He loves us. But it's not just about us, you know? It's about other people too. But he's such a big God. Just think, you know, if he wasn't a big God, he would just, okay, you're healing. That's it. You know what? I could just only be here at this one time to be able to heal this person. And that's what Jesus did. He was a fully man, fully God. And he came and humbled himself in the form of a baby. Can you believe that? And here he is, a 30-something-year-old man, 33, we're 30 years old because this ministry lasted for 3 years. And he's going from place to place. I don't know how many in all had Jesus healed in his whole ministry in those 3 years. But I know it was a lot of people that he healed. But he was only in one place. Now, could Jesus know every single person that needed healing in every region he went to when he went into Galilee and different parts of the world? Absolutely. He absolutely could have done that, but he did that for our benefit, so that by us seeing him in the flesh and experiencing it and seeing it, that we may believe in him. But he said, blessed are those that have not seen me that still believe. And that's what Jesus does when we come into him. That's what Jesus does when we believe in him, I mean, and when we put our faith and our trust in him. He said, you know, you're believing in something that you can't see for healing. You are desperate right now. And that's the perfect place that I want you to be in, because then I can come and fill you and I can give you new life. I can heal you. I can start your journey and where you were actually supposed to be all along. That's what kind of God that I am. That's what kind of God he wants to show every single person. So it is about, it is the benefit of healing, you know, physically and mentally. That is a big part of it. Because if we're not physically well, we're not going to want to receive what any word about God that anybody has to say. If we're mentally depressed or have anxious thoughts, we're not going to be able to take in what the person has said either. And that's, like I said, that's particularly where the devil likes to work too. I think he inflicts physical pains on us as well, but mainly it's in our mind, because he knows that if we put our mind to anything, there's nothing that can stop us. And that's what that's the type of destroyer he is. He's a fake lion. He's a sheep in wolf's clothing, and he comes and disguises himself as an angel of light to deceive, destroy men and women of God, and even the people that are placed their faith in Jesus. But God wants to give you new life based on not seeing him, but at the same time knowing that he exists. You know? So like I said, it is about physical healing. It is about that. But mainly it's about spiritual healing. The physical and the mental need to be taken care of first, obviously, right? Before you receive the spiritual. But have you guys ever heard that saying that like the spiritual is like the highest part? You know, if you ever seen like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it'll have like, you know, spiritual, physical, emotional, blah, 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 mental, you know, and I believe that. And that's how I know, like with my healing journey, you know, when I'm giving God more of my heart, you know, and crying out to him more, which is a huge part of healing, I'm experiencing more healing from God than I am with therapy and all these other things that I'm doing. But they are helpful. They do factor into it. You know, so my prayer for you guys is that you would yield into the Lord, that you would draw near to him so that he may draw into you, that you would know that he cares about every single pain that you're going through. He sees the unforgiveness in your heart. He sees the bitterness. He sees the nights that you cry. He sees your secret struggles that you don't want anybody else to know about. And he cares, and he wants to give you deliverance. He wants to set at liberty all of your bondages, all of your deliverance. I mean, all of your struggles to deliver you. You know? And like I said, you know, the power of the gift of tears is important in and of itself. I remember when I was afraid to cry, actually. And I'm just going to share this a little bit because it might bless somebody. But I remember, you know, in the first earlier years when I first, you know, became a Christian. And I went to a retreat, and, you know, I would always, you know, feel, you know, Spirit of God moving in me, whatever. And I never wanted to really cry, you know, never, because I'm like, oh man, people think there's something wrong with me, whatever. And, or, you know, I'm just afraid of what people would think. So I would always struggle with that. But I remember waking up to go to the retreat, and they had like 7 a.m. prayer. And I remember going up there and praying on my knees in the chapel, and I was kind of like in the pew, and then there was other people in the pew, and then there was like a big circle of people in the front that were sitting down Indian style praying. And I remember it just like waking up 7 a.m. going there praying, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I just weep and weep and weep. And I don't even understand why I'm weeping, because there was nothing there was nothing like really that they were saying to draw on the emotion for me to cry. And I was so embarrassed because I was the only person there. And I just wept and wept. And I couldn't stop. I was just like uncontrollable. I cannot stop. And so I would be like trying to restrain myself. My nose was running. Like it was one of those cries, you know. And then people were starting to look at me. And they were asking if I was okay. And by the end of it, you know, we, you know, prayed and everything like that. You know, people should we shook hands. And by the end of the retreat, which was the next day that evening, the people asked anybody, like, you know, what they learned from the retreat. And, you know, they were carrying around the microphone because they were going to take it to the person. And I remember God placing on my heart, you know, raise your hand, JMEL, raise your hand. And so the microphone came over to me, and I didn't know what I was going to say, but I knew it had a lot to do with crying, you know. And God was just speaking through me, and next thing I know, I'm just starting to weep, even while holding the microphone. And I was like, I just want to say the importance of tears. Like, God gives us the gift of tears to heal us, and it's beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with it. And don't restrain when that happens, because it's so much that can be a blessing that comes through us by us releasing our tears, not just biologically but spiritually, you know. And I started crying, of course, because I'm just like, oh my God, here it is, it's starting up again, you know, Lord, I don't want this. You know, but I think that's the lesson that God was trying to teach me, is that, you know, when we cry, it releases tension, it releases our pain, it comforts us, and it keeps our heart soft. When we're walking around with bitterness and anger and frustration, it's because we're not allowing ourselves to be released from our pain, because we're afraid of crying, we're afraid of letting our emotions out. Some of us may be at the point where they can't even cry right now because of just how hard and just numb they are. And I can absolutely say that I've been where you are, you know, and it's hard. But I just pray for you right now, Lord God. I just want to lift them in prayer, every single person, Lord God, that's emotionally numb, Lord God. I pray that you touch the inner depths of their hearts right now, Father God. I'm praying, Father God, for deliverance, Father God. I'm praying, Lord, your word says that you will take out the heart of stone and you'll give us a heart of flesh, Father God. Lord God, I'm praying that your spirit would rest in them, Father God. I'm praying that they would experience you in a way that they never have, Father God. You know what the enemy caused against them in the beginning of their life, Father God. You know what came against them, Father God, but you are a big God, Lord God. Your word says that there is nothing that you can do, Father God. There is nothing that you can't overcome, Father God. Through our victory, by our faith, you said that we are healed, Father God. I'm praying, Father God, for the ones that out there that were going through silent battles, Lord God, that don't know what to do, Lord God. They tried everything in their own human strength, Father God. I'm praying for their deliverance right now, Lord God. I'm praying that they would come, Father God, and place their faith into you, Lord God. Your word says that you care about every single pains that we go through, Lord God. You don't want us to allow bitterness to spring forth, Father God, in our heart, because it would just poison their hearts, Father God. So I'm asking, Father God, that you protect them and you banish Satan and his demons from having any access to their homes or their families, to their hearts, Father God, while they are coming to you, Lord God. Your word says that I have sheep that are on their way to me, that they're not even there yet, Lord God. I'm praying that you'll protect them as they come to you, Father God. I'm praying, Father God, for the generations that has happened before them, the trauma, Father God, I'm praying that those things will come to the light, Lord God, and that they will give those to you, Lord God. I'm praying as a vessel on their behalf for the people, Lord God, that are sitting in darkness, Lord God. I'm praying that even while they're there, Lord God, that they would experience you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you do and what you continue to do through us, Lord God. You will never fail us, Lord God. Your word says that you are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Father God. I give you glory and praise and honor this day, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you continually do, Lord God, through your people, Lord God, through your angels that minister to us, Lord God, that keep us safe, Father. I just give you praise, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for the healing that you're going to provide right now through every single person that's listening to this, Father God. I give you praise, Lord God. Glory, 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 Lord God, in advance. Your word says that if we praise you in advance, healing will happen, Lord God. We're coming to you right now, Lord God, out of humility and strength, Lord God, not because we want something from you because of our own selfishness, Lord God, but we're praying for healing and restoration for our family members, Lord God, that are going to reap because of our healing, Father God. Thank you for being a God of inclusion, Father God. Thank you for being a God that cares and that shows no partiality, Lord God. You called us out of this, Lord God, just so that we can bless other people, Father God, and I just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you for the people, Lord God, that are hearing this, and the Holy Spirit is going through it right now and softening their hearts as we speak, Lord God, cutting to the heart, Father God. Your word is powerful, Lord God, and effective, Father God. Your word says that you go through the that your word cuts through bones and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Father God. Praise be to your name, Lord God. I just give you praise, Father God. I pray that this podcast is a blessing to everyone that hears and that they can know that you care, Lord God. Know that you're a big God and that you're working on their behalf, Lord God. Even though you can't be seen, tell them, Lord God, that you are a lot more alive than any physical thing that they can see right now, Lord God. The spiritual world is real, Lord God, and you are spirit, and your word says that wherever the spirit of the Lord is, you are there, Father God, and there's freedom through that, Father God. I give you praise, honor, and glory this day, Lord God, and for every person that's hearing this right now, Lord, thank you in Jesus' mighty name. I pray all of these things in advance. Amen. 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 God bless everyone out there. I pray everyone is blessed by this. And I pray that you can know healing is available, that God cares about you. He knows what you're going through. He sees it. Even though this world is getting more evil and more worse, that doesn't mean that you can be that way. You can get better. The Bible says that our outer man is getting older, but our inner man can be renewed by the Spirit of God. Because when this world is all over, and when we're buried in the grave, that's what's going to matter. It's our spirit. And we're going to be in heaven with God. And I pray that I see every single body there one day. But we can't look at the things that we see around us and be influenced people out there. We have to feed on the word of God. We have to eat and drink of his flesh. And I know that sounds horrid to say, why would I eat and drink of someone's flesh? But the word of God is vital in every single way. That's why God broke bread with the disciples, you know, and which was communion. He broke bread and then he gave them drink to show what his whole will was for him coming down here for us. He exemplified what that would be like when he died. And he said, I'm not going to drink this again with you or eat this again until we get to the kingdom of God and we see him in heaven again. But he's showing them that you have to eat and drink of my word to be empowered by my spirit to do what you can't do. And even still, the things that we are, God gives us a certain level of human will strength, but that won't get us far. We need God's strength to do good. We need God's strength to love other people. We need God's strength to have the boldness to share our testimony and share the word of God and to love others and to not hold bitterness and to forgiveness. We need the word of God for all of that, brothers and sisters. And people out there, I pray for your souls right now. I pray that you'll stay encouraged, that you'll seek the right type of fellowship. People that have left the churches that don't have fellowship, I pray that God will bless you with the right type of fellowship of the people that sees your heart. Not what they want from you, but sees who you are inside, that sees the gift of God in you. I pray that there are people that would stir the gift of God because they see it. I pray God will protect you as you go in and out of the world every single day. That he'll protect you and your children. Okay, so this is a very passionate topic for me. I can see And, you know, I just want to put the truth out there, because at the end of the day, the truth will stand regardless. And, you know, I love you guys. So definitely continue to support me whenever I can come on here again. Absolutely will. Keep praying for me that I'll be much more consistent. And God bless.